Hello everybody, it's Mitch Tall23 back in our video. Let me check the sound real quick to make sure that's working. Alright, so the sound is working. So, in this video, I want to talk about a particularly interesting term which is used to describe the Lord in the Bible, and talk about why it's used and what the Bible says about such a term, and compare it with other verses that show very similar things. So in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 29, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And that's quoted actually from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 4:24, which says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." So the context of Deuteronomy 4, the verses before this, it's a commandment of God not to forget the covenant which he made with the Israelites. So the "for" that we see at the beginning of the verse, "for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire," is, of course, that means a "because." So the meaning is that they should not make graven images and worship other gods, as it says in the previous verses, because the Lord is a consuming fire. Now that's exactly what we see in the scriptures. That's an amazing aspect of who the Lord is. Now, based on what the Bible tells her this video, so the Bible says in Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." So the word "devouring" is, of course, a synonym to consuming. The same description is used in the Bible, both devouring and consuming. Both of them are used constantly in the Word of God. So back in Exodus 19, it described the descent of God onto Mount Sinai and how the whole mountain quaked and went up in smoke and fire because of the presence of the Lord. Now, I always try to picture this in my mind and what that would have looked like, as I know what the actual Mount Sinai looks like. I've seen pictures of the mountain, but I can't really imagine how amazing and how glorious it was when God descended on the mountain, because the Israelites were really afraid. So it must have been a really amazing event, so that the whole mountain was on fire and looked like it was being consumed by the fire. So also in this same book, in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites made the golden calf at the foot of the mountain, God made a promise to consume the Israelites. He said to Moses in Exodus 32, verse 9 to 10, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And in the book of Psalms it is written in Psalm 21, verse 9, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." So I made a video a couple weeks ago where I talked about the wrath and judgment of God. So God in his wrath, which would mean anger, indignation, consumes the wicked. He devours them with fire. And essentially what this means is that the fire which goes out from God, which is poured out as a result of his wrath, it burns them up. That's what consuming means. You know, usually when we hear the word consuming and devouring, we're thinking we think of like eating, you know, when you consume something or devour something. That's a description for just, you know, eating something up, right? So it's just like fire eating something up, completely burning it up just into ashes. There's nothing left. That's what devouring or consuming is. And we see this all over the Bible, that one of the main ways that God deals with the wicked is by fire. He before cleansed the earth with water at the time of Noah, but back in Genesis 9, he promised that he would never destroy the world with water again. We know that next time the world is destroyed, it will be by fire. It says in Isaiah 66, verse 15 to verse 17, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." So this in context is talking about the end times. It's just before God establishes the new heaven and the new earth in Isaiah 66. So he comes with fire. He rebukes with flames of fire. In verse 17, it tells us that the wicked will be consumed together. So, of course, this is again talking about the consuming fire, that they will literally be consumed by the fire of God. Now, we see the same prediction and the same imagery in the New Testament as well, as in Isaiah 66. Compare that with 2 Thessalonians verse 1, 7 and 9. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his angels to take vengeance, this is the coming of Jesus on the white horse in Revelation 19, when he brings down fire and consumes the beast and the false prophet and the nations which gather themselves at Armageddon to fight against God. So at this point, he completely destroys the wicked with the fire from God. Now, it's not just the end times. It's not just the final wrath of God where God consumes people by fire. There are numerous other examples in the scriptures which talk about this consuming fire of God. So besides the descent upon Sinai, which is not talking about a specific person or the wicked people being destroyed, that's just a description of what it looked like, what the fire looked like upon Mount Sinai. That one of the first depictions of this consuming fire is in the case of Nadab and Abihu. So in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said." So notice the details that are given here. So Nadab and Abihu, they disobeyed the commandments of the Lord's ordinance. They've offered something that they were not supposed to. As a result of this, it says in verse 2, that fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. So we see this aspect of God being a consuming fire to those who are wicked. These men have sinned in the presence of the Lord, and immediately they were devoured. So perhaps this is the reason why the Lord says, no man can see my face and live. God is so holy that just being in his presence as a sinner is enough to be consumed by the fire of God. And notice the detail in verse 5. It says that they carried Nadab and Abihu out of the camp in their coats. Now, why does it add that detail, that they were in their coats? That seems completely unnecessary. Why does it matter that they were in their coats, right? Well, I believe that this may be telling us that the coats were unharmed by the fire. They were not burned up. It was just Nadab and Abihu, the persons who were burned out of the fire. This fire from God consumed and killed the people within these coats who had sinned, but the coats, being an inanimate object, were not affected by the fire of God. We see another example of this in the wilderness in the following, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Again, we see as part of the wrath of God, the fire comes out from God. It consumes the wicked whose heart was against the Lord. Now, that's very similar to what happened with Nadab and Abihu, that this fire comes out from the Lord and consumes them. So besides specific examples, the Lord talks about several other times in the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 21 to 22, this is a promise of God for those who will disobey him. He says, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those that which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth in her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So here we have a description of the power of the fire of God, that is, in God's anger, if the Israelites continue to disobey God, his fire will burn so strongly that it will consume the earth and the foundation of the mountains. So not only does God consume the wicked, but he promises to set everything in the land on fire, to burn it all up so none of them can escape from the wrath of God. In Psalm 53, it says, and that's chapter 50, verse 3. "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. It shall be very tempestuous round about him." In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 30, it says, "And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." And finally, the last time we see this to happen is in the book of Revelation, at the war of Gog and Magog. The scriptures say in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 9, And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So in this last battle, when Satan gathers the nations to fight against God, it says that God again brings down fire from heaven and devours these people who are rebelling against God. So this is how God destroys the wicked. He destroys them with this devouring fire, which no one can escape from. So we see in the scriptures this side of the fire of God, that in his indignation, in his anger, in his wrath, God consumes the wicked, that those who transgress against him and oppose him have been in the past and will be burned up in the future with this devouring or consuming fire of God. One who is wicked simply cannot live in the presence of the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we need to be saved and our spirit needs to be born again, why we need to have our sins forgiven. We can't live in the presence of God, right? But by contrast, as I've already hinted at, there's also the aspect of the fire of God which does not consume. See, as I pointed out earlier in this video, and through all the verses we already read, God is called the consuming fire in the context of the destruction of the wicked. He consumes the wicked with the fire. However, as in the cases of Nadab and Abihu, they may have been set on fire, they may have been burned, but their coats weren't, right? Well, that's at least what it hints at in the chapter, Leviticus chapter 10, but there's another instance of something like that happening in the Bible. Actually, two instances, and I'm going to look at these real quick. First is in Exodus 3, verse 2 to 3. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." So this is the famous story of the burning bush in the book of Exodus. The same words are used here as in Isaiah 66 about the Lord appearing with a flame of fire. And he even talks about how it's not consumed. And yet, even though God is in this bush with fire, with a flame of fire, the flame of God encompassing this bush, Moses observed that the bush is not consumed. It's not burnt. It's just like the coats of Nadab and Abihu. Why? Because it's an inanimate object. God consumes the wicked with his fire, but this bush is just a bush. It's not a human being that's disobeying God's commandments. So it's not burning. It's not being consumed by the fire. And we see a similar thing in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 20 to 27, this is a story of not the wicked, but righteous men. It says, "And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." So when Nebuchadnezzar throws these three Jews into the fiery furnace, he has the intent of consuming them with that fire in this fiery furnace, right? As a way to execute them because they refused to bow down to the idol that he had made. But after he does this, he observes not only there are three men walking in the fire, but that there is also a fourth man who is called the Son of God. Now, this Old Testament appearance of Christ shows that, you know, obviously Christ is God according to the Bible in John 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:16, that these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are in the presence of God at this point. The inability of the fire to hurt these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shows that perhaps, again, the fire of God had replaced this earthly fire that they were thrown into. So, in another Old Testament appearance of Christ, in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel sees the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He describes a man sitting on a throne encompassed with fire and brightness round about. So we know that that's talking about Christ because he describes him as a man sitting on a throne. And we know that the Bible says that nobody's ever seen God the Father. So this isn't the Father he's seeing. He's seeing an Old Testament appearance of Christ in the book of Ezekiel. He describes him as one with fire and brightness all round about him. So in the story of Daniel, these men, they're saved. They believe in God. They were not consumed by the fire surrounding the presence of God. And furthermore, when they left the furnace, they did not even smell like smoke. Okay, not a bit of them was burnt, not their coats, not their hairs, nothing. They were not burnt up at all. So despite standing in the fire of God, they were completely unharmed. So we see in the scriptures there are certain things which are consumed by the fire of God and things that are not consumed by the fire of God. So the consuming fire of God is not what we normally think of as fire. It's part of who God is. It burns up sinners and everything that's wicked, but it does nothing to that which is good and righteous, things that are not wicked. So that's what the Bible teaches concerning this. I think it's a pretty interesting topic. I learned about this quite a bit ago, but I've kind of wanted to do a video on this before, actually, but I just kind of remembered it just a few weeks ago. So I think this is a really interesting topic. Thank you, buddy, for watching, and goodbye. God bless you.